Hello and welcome to Over the Counter, the podcast from Drug Topics. This episode is brought to you in part by McKesson and MacroHelix. MacroHelix 340B program management technology supports hundreds of covered entities and contract pharmacies across the United States. The software solutions can help pharmacists improve financial performance, maximize operational efficiency, and maintain regulatory compliance. All so you can deliver quality care and support to patients who need it. In this episode, we're joined by Megan Numerich, Director of Support Services at MacroHelix. Megan will be diving into the information pharmacists need to know about HRSA audits and the keys to success should you be audited. So today we're talking about HRSA audits. What are HRSA audits targeting?
Well, that's a great question. So when a covered entity enrolls in the 340B program, that is a federal program, and they do attest to all the program requirements around 340B, which also includes audits. And again, just because it is a federal program, you're going to be subject to those. There's no rhyme or reason as to when you'll receive an audit. It is definitely a very random process. But I do want to remind our listeners that these audits are actually intended to be educational. A few years ago, I had the pleasure of working with a HRSA auditor on site with one of our covered entities. And she just wanted to remind the team, like, their ultimate goal of auditing entities is not to remove them from the program. That is not the overarching theme of an audit, is to see, you know, what issues they can identify and remove you. But it really is intended just to be educational and to help entities find any gaps in their processes or any compliance risks that they may have that would interfere with their continuation of the program. So again, these are just like another set of eyes, and, you know, audits can be really scary. If you guys have ever received a notice in the mail or got a call that you're going to be audited, it's quite scary and you just don't know quite what to expect. But the good thing about these HRSA audits is there are resources and information out there to help covered entities best prepare for these audits. So during the audit, they're looking, like I mentioned before, looking for those gaps and holes in their compliance processes, but they're also looking for controls in place around diverted drugs. So this could be like giving 340B medications to a location that is not 340B. They're also looking at duplicate discounts, which basically is around Medicaid. So there are stipulations around if a covered entity can extend those 340B discounted drugs to Medicaid or if they have to carve them out. And then in addition to those, they're also making sure entities have auditable records of the patients, making sure the patient was an outpatient, making sure the location was a 340B eligible location that was registered. They're also looking at the medications to making sure those are covered outpatient drugs, et cetera. At the end of the audit process, and I'll talk about in a few minutes about how the audit process works, but all the entities that have been audited, it is posted publicly on the HRSA program integrity page. And you might notice that the audits only go back to 2012. And that's interesting because the 340B program actually has almost been around for 30 years, but they didn't start auditing until 2012. And so they have kept up with that trend over the years. And when you look at those findings on the website, they're not intended to call out or, you know, point out any issues or mistakes or anything like that. But these are really good to know about because they can help you identify trends and what you can be prepared for. So you should always be prepared for all aspects of the audit, but you can maybe focus on some of those areas that tend to have more findings. And with these trends, honestly, we've had some good news over the years since 2012. So for our 340B listeners that keep up with the audits, you may have seen a significant trend in entities not having any findings. So that's almost 50% of the 200 audits that they do per year have no findings at all. And so that number has really increased and ramped up over the years. So that's a really awesome trend. But also you'll see the diversion findings. We've seen a significant decrease in those almost by 30% since 2017. And then also a decrease in duplicate discount findings by 8%. So overall, it's looking like those findings that have no findings, you know, those are on the rise. And some of these other findings are on the decrease. So that offers a sense of hope to those that may have not had an audit before or may be re-audited.
Yeah, that's great to know. And then how many audits have been conducted since they started these in 2012?
So in 2012, they only started with around 50 covered entities. And then they kind of ramped up and it's been stagnant at 200. Some say 199, but about 200 audits per year in the last few years. So it totals over 1,500 audits, which is, you know, just that's a significant chunk of entities that have been audited. But that number also includes repeat audits or re-audits. And those usually occur. So if a covered entity had an audit a couple years ago or, you know, in the last year, and they had findings, they can be re-audited again. So those are definitely in those numbers as well.
And can you dive into the HRSA audit process?
Sure. So a HRSA audit, it can be classified into three different phases. You have a pre-audit, the real-time, and pre-COVID, it was called an on-site audit. And then there's a post-audit phase. So in the pre-audit phase, the authorizing officials, so when the covered entity registers for the 340B program, they have to designate an individual, is also called the authorizing official or AO, and they will be notified by email from HRSA, letting them know that they have been selected for a HRSA audit. And usually the time when these notifications come out, we have a lot of folks that are on red alert right after the Labor Day holiday. You get to enjoy that day off, and then the next day you come into the office, you may have a notification for an audit. But those start in September, and those notifications are ongoing throughout the summer. So unofficially, the HRSA audit season ends in around the May to June timeframe. And in that time, so we're at 200 audits per year, and that's the number they're still basing off of. But every 6 weeks, a batch of notifications go out. So you may have been, you know, you missed the notification, but in a couple of weeks, you could be in the next round. So those are kind of ongoing until they hit that 200 mark for the year. And in that pre-audit phase, entities usually have about a month or two to prepare for the real-time audit. And one interesting thing that we saw over the past few years is related covered entities within a health system may have been notified of HRSA audits at the same time or back to back. So we may have seen one of our health systems, they had one audit, and then a couple weeks later, they received another audit for another location. And that can be challenging if you're a coordinator for multiple covered entities. And I'll talk about preparation. I'm a broken record when talking about audit preparation, but it is really important to be prepared in those instances where you may have to cover multiple facilities. But as I mentioned, the pre-audit phase, you have about a month or two to prepare, and that time goes by real fast. In the data gathering, you get a data request list from your auditor, and you'll connect with them and kind of go through the process. But then you're gathering your documents, and sometimes it's like, you know, you think of one more thing that you need to do. So again, here's the broken record. Preparation is really key, and having all your items together in a centralized location and being organized is a tremendous help in this time frame. And then once the pre-audit phase is over, then that's the real-time audit. So the auditor will schedule a 1 8-hour day. And right now these audits are being conducted virtually through an Adobe Connect platform. But they will have all of your data in that pre-audit phase. So once you wrap that stuff up, it's going to go to the auditor. They're going to be doing a desk audit, evaluating your documents, looking for all those connecting things that are required. And then on that real-time audit day, they may be asking additional questions or clarifications, or they may need additional documentation that may have not been needed at the time your data was submitted. During that real-time audit, most of the day is spent actually doing sample testing, or what they can refer to as tracers. So you're going to give them a lump of 340B qualified data, and they're going to take out a sample set. And then it's going to be a conversation on that real-time audit between the auditor and the entity of navigating their EMR to their TPA and verifying that that patient was actually 340B eligible. And so in addition to that, they're also looking at Medicaid too. So you may have to have your billing team there as well to demonstrate the eligibility. In this phase, you may have a group of individuals too from your health system that can navigate multiple places. So you may have someone that's an expert with your EMR. You may have someone that's an expert with your TPA. If you have a separate billing system, you'll be spending time with those tracers and connecting all those pieces. And then the auditor gives you a few days after that real-time audit to submit any additional information that was required to kind of help clarify something or a documentation you might not have had at that moment. And then finally, the post-audit. The real-time audit is wrapped up, and it takes a few weeks, can take a few months for any findings to be published for the HRSA audit. So if they identify any compliance issues and there needs to be what we refer to as a CAP or corrective action plan, and they need to fill out their plan and what they're going to do to make corrections to anything found during the audit. Once that is all wrapped up, they will post those and publish those findings on the HRSA program integrity page. And then the entity will also need to make sure that they fulfill any sanctions that come through those findings. So if they need to pay back manufacturers or fix registrations or anything like that, they will have to do those, of course. And of course, we just hope all entities have no findings. And that just means, you know, 340B can continue and they don't have to worry about being re-audited for a very long time.
So you mentioned that they're doing the real-time audits virtually now amid the pandemic. Do you see them going back to in-person anytime soon?
Currently, we are unsure what HRSA will do next fiscal year. So we are currently wrapping up the FY21 season, but we'll find out in September. But my hunch is that they will remain virtual and probably will continue that way for a while.
And getting into the fun part here, how can pharmacists prepare for a HRSA audit?
Oh, all the things. So audit readiness, it shouldn't be just limited to doing those sample testing or tracers to make sure patients are eligible. And then any purchases on 340B after those patients are deemed eligible. We get that quite a bit. And that is a big part of the audit, right? That's almost most of the real-time audit time is doing those tracers. But there's more to that. So making sure that your 340B OPAIS database listings are correct, and making sure, like, especially your Medicaid elections are correct. So if you say you're carving out, then all of the participating locations should also be carving out as well. And you should really fine-tune that and make sure that's in accordance, and then vice versa. If you're carving in, making sure your information is on the Medicaid exclusion file, and then, you know, the pharmacies you deem to carve in are also following suit and that you have documentation. So that's one. Second, I would say the pharmacy services agreements or PSAs. So those are contracts between the covered entity and a participating contract pharmacy to dispense 340B drugs. Making sure those are accurate, complete, signed, but also the addresses on there correspond with your OPAIS listing. Sometimes that comes up quite a bit, that what is on the OPAIS database does not match what's on the PSA. So making sure you work with your contract pharmacy partners to get those updated. Regularly reviewing and updating your policies and procedures is also extremely important. When you create those, it's not a kind of a one and done situation. You constantly have to keep up and make sure those are up to date with your practices and what you're doing in your pharmacies around 340B. And as I mentioned, some of the finding focuses are diversion, duplicate discounts. So those things definitely need to be in your policies and procedures. And I mentioned auditing claims and practicing tracer samples. And so I said it wasn't limited to that, but I want to call out one important thing about this is you don't want to be surprised during the HRSA audit when you have to do tracers. And a lot of folks actually work with their team and actually practice doing tracers. So they'll take a sample set of claims from their third-party administrator software, and then they will audit those and then have a whole team there to make sure the EMR records match, make sure the billing records match. So that is really important, is to practice and get a good, what I call mojo, of doing those tracers before the audit occurs, because you don't want to be scrambling trying to find and locate specific areas in your EMR. You want to make sure you know where to go for those. Another point I would say would be to develop a cross-functional committee. Committees like building one for 340B are important because, like I mentioned, not only doing those tracer testing, but you also have representatives from your informatics team, your credentialing office, compliance, legal purchasing, your leadership teams. 340B is just not a one-person job. You have to have, you know, everyone participate and pull in. So it's always good to have a committee of folks that meet regularly just to make sure that you're covering all those areas, you're reviewing your documentation, you have all your documents organized, et cetera. The last thing I would say also is important is having a centralized storage place for all your 340B documentation. Like I mentioned, that pre-audit phase goes by so fast, and a lot of those documents on the data request list are on that initial pre-audit phase. So if you have a storage place, so it could be on your computer, it could be a binder, whatever you're using in your entity, but just having it all in one centralized location is really important, and it just helps streamline efficiencies and you know exactly what you're looking for in case you are audited. So this is not an all-inclusive list. These are just some of the big points I've come to learn over the years that might be really important for our listeners to have. And just a plug for the 340B Prime vendor, Apexis. They have a great set of tools on their website, on apexis.com. They have some educational tools, but they also have a lot of templates and documents that you can edit and fill out. So if you're in need of a policies and procedures document or 340B Universe document, they have all that there and readily available for entities to use and customize for their specific program.
How can the Macro Helix software help with all of this?
Yeah, so Macro Helix, so we are a 340B program administrator, and we do offer a software tool that really helps with the 340B process a covered entity might have. And it takes away the manual, what I call a legal pad and pencil approach to qualifying for 340B. And you can customize and configure the software settings to meet your patient definition. It's flexible enough to allow you to pick locations that are eligible or patient types that are eligible. So it just gives another layer of oversight and monitoring to help improve covered entities 340B processes. But also what we found over the years is ongoing support is really essential from your third-party administrator. So at Macro Helix, we see all of our covered entity customers as a partner, and we want to be there for them to help them navigate through these 340B complexities, and especially these audits, right? These audits can be intense up front, and we want to make sure our covered entities are prepared and they have the tools and resources to be successful during those audits. So we have a team, a small team, but a mighty team of audit support analysts, and they are responsible for partnering with all of our covered entities proactively through what we call an audit checkup. And then, but also during those HRSA audits. So, we will come on site, and I hope on site returns for those, but we do love coming on site to help our covered entity partners through those HRSA audits. And some of my favorite interactions have been, we've had to grab breakfast or coffee for a covered entity. We could be grabbing hard copies for the audit or navigating architect. We just want to be there for whatever capacity our covered entity partners need us. And so our team over the years, we're really proud, but we've helped more than 400 of our covered entity customers successfully manage and go through a HRSA audit. So we are extremely proud of that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Over the Counter. For more episodes on the latest and greatest pharmacy trends, check out drugtopics.com or anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. We'll see you next time at the counter.